And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around?
Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live right now on the 16th day of December, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving right along in time. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great program. You'll need to get your Bible, and you'll need to get your pen and paper, because we're going to walk you through some scriptures that may surprise you, because it's against the tradition. You know, the scripture says that tradition will spoil the truth of the word. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible will give you one truth right after another if it's rightly divided. But then if it's not, the Bible will give you the biggest and the baddest case of deception that you've ever had. And so the world does not deserve the truth. The world does not love our Creator, and so therefore it has nothing to do with truth. The Bible said that people of the world will love darkness. Now, darkness has turned in to tradition, and tradition of darkness has turned in to the light of truth, which is a lie. And one of the greatest lies, as we go to part two of the deception of Bethlehem, and we're talking about the greatest deception that is possibly in the Bible, and here tonight, exclusively on WWCR, around the world with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy, you're going to have a Bible study that is of the likes that you have never, probably, perhaps, ever studied before. Now, if you're not a Bible student, there's no use you getting involved in this. If you don't value your soul, you don't need to get involved in this. If you just want to follow man and the traditions of man and believe that Bethlehem, Judea, was the birthplace of the Messiah, Yahweh Shua in a flesh body, never was Jesus and never will be. Jesus is a fictitious Greek-Latin character. And we've proven that time and time again. And we know and believe that the Hebrew God, his name was Yahweh, approximately 5,823 times in the original Hebrew language, his name was spoken as Yah. Now, if we use Yah as our poetic shortness of Psalms 68:4, how many ways are you going to say Yah? There's not but one way to pronounce his name. And if you get it right, the pronunciation, the Bible says the world will be filled with the knowledge. The only reason that we have people ignorant and deceived and lost and undone and unsteady, they're like ships without a rudder, casting every wind of doctrine upon the sea of their understanding. Their foolish hearts become darkened, and instead of worshiping the truth and the true God, Yahweh, in a flesh body, They change the truth into a lie to worship the creature. And this is the creature of deception that we warn you about. The Bible itself will tell you that Yahweh himself will send you a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned if you are willing to be damned. But ladies and gentlemen, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, when the Bible students and the students that I have taught over the years knows that if there is a truth that comes forth that I haven't brought up or to the understanding of the flock, I myself as the pastor must be partakers, lest I become a castaway. So I'm not afraid of the truth. And I'm not afraid of the scriptures when they're rightly divided and put in proper context. In the gospel of Jeremiah, where we're going to begin tonight, and where our subject is Bethlehem, which one? Now, by looking at the scriptures of Bethlehem in the Stolen Identity series that we're doing here, and you can get this complete series, if you will, right before Xmas or Christmas, a time when people are focusing on the birth. They're having plays all around the world in Christian organizations, and the shepherds biding in the field on December the 25th. Well, I would advise you, if you're living somewhere up in the north or maybe out in Oklahoma tonight and where the blizzards have coming through and the winds are howling, and you've got 10 to maybe 20 inches of snow on the ground here right before December the 25th, I don't believe that the shepherds would be abiding in the fields watching their sheep at night. I don't think so. No, so we know that that's a fictitious date, and we told you in identity message that we taught last Sunday night on stolen identity why that they wanted to bring in December the 25th as the birthday. Because that's the birth of the Son, the S-U-N, not the S-O-N. Now, we're going to give you, as we go through the series, evidence to support the fact that Christ was not even born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was not a Judean. And we've got a $5,000 reward for anybody that can prove that our Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua in a flesh body, ever had any occasion to be born from the tribe of Judah. It's just not true. This is part of the great deception of those that say they're Jews and are not, and have convinced the Christian world that the Messiah was Jewish. Therefore, we are to love the Jewish people. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jewish people, if we're talking about the people of Judah, we've got to rightly divide that scripture and what we do and where we make enemies. And this is where the rubber meets the road. We got to have truth to run the road of salvation. You see, a lie will hold up only for a moment, but truth lasts forever. And you're going to stand before him in that day, and you're either going to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many," or you're going to hear him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you," and the latter before the former, because only a few of those pilgrims that'll press for the truth, that'll hear the truth. You see, a lot of people would love to support me, but that means that they would have to go against their wives. Oh, yes. And by doing so, they would have to go against the wives' pastor and the church and their tradition and Santa Claus and Easter and all of the functions of tradition. Now, you wives that are listening to me tonight, or you ladies that want the truth, and there is as many women that want the truth as there is men. The problem is, they'd be more women if we had more men. And yet, there is as many women, almost, there was actually as many women followed Christ as there was men. However, there were only men chosen to carry what we call the divine spoken word. When he chose the 12, they were all male. And for this function, we find out that a woman is a weaker vessel. However, if she's got a man, she'll stand the test of time and she'll encourage that man to seek Yahweh, irregardless. Men just love to keep things down and not muddy the water. And women could care less. When they know the truth, they will stand for it. And so then, I admire men that are men and women that are women that will hazard their life, will take the truth and go against the traditional ways of the world and follow after righteousness with all their heart. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, "Behold, the days are coming, saith Yahweh. I will raise up to David a righteous branch," men, a sprout, "and he will reign as king and do wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land." Now, Jeremiah is a book on the prophet that lived after David. And so then, we're not talking about David here. We're talking about a branch that will come off the righteous sprout or the root of David, ladies and gentlemen. And this offspring would come in the last days, for it says in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, listen to me, "Thus saith Yahweh concerning the king who sits upon the throne of David and concerning the people who dwell in the city." In Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22, listen as we read, "And the key," here's the text tonight, "the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder." Now, do you have the key? Do you know David's lineage? Do you know from what bloodline David descended? You say, "Well, of course I do, Pastor Buddy." Glory to God. David was a Jew, just like Jesus Christ was a Jew. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is an error. That is the seam right. That is the traditional way. And that is the understanding of Bible scholars. Can you believe that the Bible scholars, noted in Christ's day as scribes and Pharisees, these were the learned men of that day, and yet they didn't know nothing. Christ came and had never learned, and they marveled at his knowledge. Well, here comes Pastor Buddy, eighth grade barely, eighth grade education, haven't been to a seminary, and I got my education in the caves of the hills of East Tennessee with a gallon of good branch water and a old King James Bible that I literally wore out page by page as I fasted and prayed in my youth. The Bible said, "Seek Yahweh in the days of your youth." I began to see a developing pattern of truth that the world frowned on. When I came back to the church to tell them what I'd learned through fasting and praying and seeking Yahweh and not man, or being studied in the learned centers of the learning centers of the seminaries. Ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to the divine spirit, you'll know that the Bible says in Isaiah, "The key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder." Now listen to this. "He shall open and no man shall shut." It is an open and a shut case here. And no man can open this door or shut it, because the truth is already out. And the understanding is the key that will open your soul to receive the truth if you are destined or predestined as a sheep to hear the word. Now, how can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except to be sent? For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You see why so many people do not believe is because they've never heard. Now, when a preacher comes, did you know that the Messiah was a radical preacher? The Bible says that he preached and taught things concerning the truths that went against the traditional Pharisee and scribe doctrine. And they marveled at his doctrine. Marveled. And here, Pastor Buddy, elderly man, if you would consider 71, and I feel like tonight I'm about 16. Praise Yahweh. And for that purpose, I preach that Christ was not a Jew, was not of the born bloodline of Judah, other than the blood of Jacob, who flowed through the 13 sons in the house of Israel. And so then the blood of Judah was only 1/13 a part of the blood that flowed through this man from Galilee, not from Judea. And so the controversy is, was he born in Bethlehem, Judea, as a traditional holds it, and a lot of people understand that he was, because it was the scribes' understanding. Now, why would a scribe say that Christ, the anointed, now when I say Christ, the word Christ means Hebrew, Messiah. The word Christ is a Hindu word borrowed from the Hindu language of the Sanskrit from India and placed into the understanding. It simply means the anointed one. And so then, the Messiah, the prophecies of the scriptures concerning Yahweh, who is to sit upon the throne of David. Then what bloodline would he come from? If he was to sit on the throne of David, he would have to be from the Davidic bloodline. And here we are, offering a reward for anybody can prove that Christ came from the bloodline of Judah, exclusively. He didn't do that. Well, if he didn't do that, well, then why do they teach that he did? Because of the understanding of the scribes and the Pharisees. And now we've got these PhD, medical and physical, and these DVDs, doctrines of devils that are teaching things that seem right, that is a standard issue, because it's always been preached that way. And here comes Pastor Buddy offering these preachers money to prove that Christ had a Jewish bloodline. And then they go into a silent treatment. Oh, they'll be up on December the 25th at their Christmas place tonight around the world. They are telling people that Christ was a Jew. Here's Pastor Buddy saying that's not true. The bloodline of David was not Jewish. I've proved that over and over and over. All you got to do is simply know where to look in the Bible, who people, most people, doesn't go and look. They've never fasted a day in their life. They have no understanding in spiritual matters. But boy, they've been taught well by the seminaries. They sing like canaries. And they say in their songs, "O little star of Bethlehem, it came up on a midnight clear in Bethlehem of Judea that year, December the 25th, so on and so on. But what does the Bible say? It says that David was an Ephraimite. Strong's number 672, 673. And if David and Jesse were Ephraimites, and the birthright son was to come from the birthline of the promise, that would be the house of Joseph, then Christ would have to descend from the blood of David, who himself was from the blood of Joseph, the birthright promise. And so then everything would be in order. But see, that's against the world's tradition. And here Pastor Buddy has the boldness, knowing what the next scripture says, and knowing that these traditional things that's been taught for centuries are in error. Ezekiel 34, "I will raise up them, over them, one shepherd, and he shall feed them, even my servant, David." Now, who was David? Was the Messiah? Was he from the offspring of David? Well, Revelation 22 and 16 makes it very clear. But Revelation 22:16 has a double meaning. So we're going to talk about the issues of blood and how the law would ascribe. We know, ladies and gentlemen, that Joseph, the supposed father of the Messiah, we know that he was from the house of David. The Bible plainly tells us so. But we also know, for those who know, that Joseph was not his natural biological father. And most Christian churches will admit that Christ had a spiritual father for his father. Nobody would dispute that. Now, let's look at the scriptures here in Revelation 22 and verse 16. Follow me. Here it says, he said, I am the offspring of David. Revelation 22:16. Now, can you doubt that? And yet, we know that the Messiah didn't have David's fleshly blood in his veins. Now, how can this be? Well, the answer lays in the same verse. And you'll have to pardon my throat tonight. But let's look at the scriptures here when it says, I am the root of David. Now that word root changes the whole complexion of the context of that verse. I am the root and the offspring of David. That means, as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Mark. We're going to start here at the 35th verse, and we're going to read a scripture for you where it says, when Christ asked the people, the Pharisees in particular, and the scribes, how is it that the people say that the Messiah is the son of David? When David said himself, the Lord, this is Master, said unto Yahweh, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And if David calls him Yahweh, or Lord, how then is he his son? And the common people caught that real quick. The common people. Now, it went over the Pharisees' head. It certainly went over the scribes, who gave themselves out as some great one. But what did Christ, what did he mean? Well, let's take a look at the scriptures. He says, I will raise one shepherd up over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. There can be no possible doubt as to the meaning that David would be the head of the theocracy and the ancestor of our Yahweh according to the flesh. But here is the Messiah saying, that's not so. That's like putting a cart before the horse. What the Pharisees were doing, they were putting the cart before the horse. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not you that bear the root, but the root that bears you. Here Christ is saying that he pre-existed before David. Oh, that really got the scribes and the Pharisees all upset. They said, oh my God, you're not even yet 50 years old, and you tell us that you're older than Abraham? When Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. So the progenitor, get it well now, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, the progenitor of the blood of David, the ancestral blood of David, was brought about and into being by Yahweh himself. Yahweh is the root of David. Now, let's go back to some of the instances where Yahweh could have possibly been the father of sons prior to the Messiah. Well, we can go back to Genesis chapter 3. We find that Satan knew Eve. Is there a possibility that Yahweh, to give his son into the world, this would be Abel, and Abel was the son of Yahweh, and the son of Yahweh was slain, not 2,000 years ago, but ladies and gentlemen, he was slain 6,000+ years ago, according to the scriptures. He was slain from the foundation of the world. Cain slew Abel. Abel was of the righteous one, and Cain was of the wicked one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. He hated the son of Yahweh, Abel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that Enoch was the seventh from Adam, according to the fourth chapter, or the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, if he was the seventh from Adam, and we count Cain and Abel in the lineage of Adam, that would be the ninth from Adam. But we start Adam's count from Seth. The other two are suspicious. One of them was born of a righteous seed, and the other was sown by the enemy, Satan, in the Garden of Eden prior to Adam ever having any sexual relationship with Eve. She was impregnated by two of the most powerful gods in the universe. You say, "Well, Pastor Buddy, my heavens, this is supposed to be a Christmas message about Bethlehem." Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what went on before Bethlehem, you certainly won't know what went on in Bethlehem. That child that was laying in a manger in Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea. There is a geographical distance of 30+ miles between the two places that man has got to look for the birthplace. And, of course, we know about the birth time. Certainly wasn't December the 25th, as we said. So then, let's go to Isaiah 9:7 for just a moment. Now, listen to this now. "Of the increase of the Messiah's government and of the peace there shall be no end. He shall set up on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth even forevermore. And the zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this." Now, what did he mean by that? "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David." Well, ladies, don't you know, and gentlemen, don't you know that Yahweh was prophesied? Listen to this, Isaiah 11:1. "And there shall come forth a shoot." Now, how can the root that bare David be an offspring from David? This is the great mystery I'm wanting you to see tonight, and I hope that you can. And if you'll get the mystery of this, that Yahweh himself progenitored a bloodline into the earth, and he called them his sheep. And he said, "I will raise up one shepherd over them." In other words, the eternal God, the Spirit, overshadowed Mary. And if he overshadowed Mary, is it possible that he could overshadow Eve and got him a son in the garden? We say, "Well, Pastor Buddy, that would be probable." But however, it's probably against the tradition of likely. And yet we find that Abel was of the righteous. He was the first Abel. And he was the son of God, the son of Yahweh, slain from the foundation. There's no argument there. Folks, I've debated this in places. And people will not. They're so reluctant to give up their tradition that they will not, since they reject the truth. Jeremiah 33, verse 22. And the host of the stars of the heavens cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured. So I will multiply the offspring of David. I will multiply the offspring of David. He said, how does people say that I'm the son of David when I was the one that fathered David? Joseph was a near blood kin of the house of David. We've proven in the book of Ruth, in the Kinsman Redeemer series, and you need to order that series, and I don't have the time to go into scripture to scripture to scripture. I would wish that I had the time, but listen to me quite well. In the first chapter of the book of Ruth, it is recorded that Elimelech, in the bloodline of the future Messiah, and we're talking about the time to come, because the house of David would be the house of the flesh that Christ would choose. And he would sit upon the throne of David forever in a flesh body. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as Pastor Buddy is ministering, Yahweh-Shua in a flesh body, sitting somewhere in the heavens, is listening to Pastor Buddy on WWCR preaching about his heritage and giving him the honor as not only the offspring of David, but a startling doctrine that he's the root of David. He's the progenitor of David. He formed the blood of David. Now, just like Christ was born in Bethlehem Ephratah, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, where the lion scribes, in order for them to gain the sympathy of the world that the Messiah would come out of the house of Judah, this is where he says, beware of them that say they're Jews and are not. So you must be aware of those that say that Christ is a Jew and is not. And here's Pastor Buddy, willing to put up $5,000 to ask and to prove with book, verse, and chapter where it says that Christ was a Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, the great switch or the stolen identity of the true bloodline of Christ. You say, well, what does it matter? He was still from the house of Jacob. Don't matter so much until you get to looking where Jacob came from. Don't matter so much until you get to looking from where Isaac came from. Doesn't matter so much till you see where Adam came from. Adam was the son of Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh can raise up sons out of a rock, a piece of stone. He just doesn't need what you would need as natural. It takes a male and a female to get a son or an offspring in the likeness of the progenitor. Christ did not have one drop of Joseph, who was the son of David, an offspring of David indeed. He did not have one drop of Joseph's bloodline, because Joseph had never known Mary, according to the scripture. Well, then how could it be, Pastor Buddy, that David's flesh and his bloodline could be from David? Well, it's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. If you look at the genealogy and know the law, it is quite evident that a woman, and in this case, Miriam, Mary, as we sing about her tonight in all the churches, the mother of God. The Bible says in Galatians 4 and 4, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, not born of a man. the father of the Messiah was Yahweh himself. So this man had a unique blood. He had the blood of Yahweh. St. John chapter 3, verse 13, says, not born of the flesh or the blood of a man, but born of Yahweh. Luke 1:32, he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Most High. And Yahweh will give him the throne of David his father. Well, Christ challenged that. He said, how can I be David's son when Yahweh himself was David's father? That's the whole thing right there. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Christ got his divinic blood through Mary, or the genetics of this, and it is in the law. We're going to go to the scriptures regarding Mary. We find that Mary and her father, it lists her father. Did you know, here in Matthew 1:16, listen, the book of the origin of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot so on and so forth, and right on down. And Jesse begot David the king, and David begot Solomon, and so on and so forth. And the genealogy continues. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. And of her was born the Messiah, who is called Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Notice that the descendant of David is Solomon in Matthew's genealogy. But in Luke's genealogy, it is Nathan. Now, what about the description? The Bible said that the birthright cannot be reckoned after the genealogy. Ladies and gentlemen, because in the Hebrew genealogy, it took a male to prove the genealogy of the offspring. And if they didn't have that, then there couldn't be any inheritance into the land, because only the 12 tribes could inherit in the land of their fathers. And so they kept a very strict genealogy. Now, let's look at the female. It says, now in the sixth month in Luke 1:26, it says, the month. I've got to pause right here just a moment. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We have already seen now that Mary is implied as being of the house of David in Luke 1:32. If she were not of the house of David, then clearly the Messiah could not have been a descendant of David. She married within her tribe, meaning that she married a man who was of the house of David in his earthly tabernacle. And so, therefore, we find that the law gives justification that Christ could legally, through his mother, inherit David's promise to sit on his throne and to claim it through Mary, because she married into the house of David. Oh my. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll give you the scriptures just in a moment when we look at the females that are listed in the genealogy downline, and we know how that came about. Ahilia was Mary's father, and he had no sons. He had another daughter, and when there is no offspring to this house of David, then the eldest daughter, that would have been Mary, that was pregnant with the Messiah from Yahweh himself. Yahweh overshadowed her, and she became pregnant. So then, in Luke 3:23, we see that the father of Mary was Heli, and that he had no sons to inherit. So therefore, this son, after the marriage to the bloodline of David through Joseph, would have consummated, and the scriptures are plain that she had a right to claim the heritage of David through the bloodline of Joseph. This is in a natural sense. In the spiritual sense, it reverses. Yahweh himself was the progenitor of David himself, rather than the offspring, as he mentions in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is astounding. What's that got to do with Bethlehem, Judea, or Bethlehem Ephratah, the birthplace? Well, let me show you something here. It is an evident fact that in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find that Jacob was residing at a place that Abraham and Isaac resided at. This was at Bethel. Long before that, there was a Bethlehem, Judea. Matter of fact, there was a Bethlehem. Long before there was a Bethlehem, Judea, there was a Bethlehem in the northern province of Galilee. Long before there was a Bethlehem, Judea. See, Bethlehem, Judea didn't come into being until much later, as the house of Judah wanted them a house of bread. Ladies and gentlemen, it is quite clear that if we look at the implications here, that the great switch has been brought about by those who are in line to bring in a way that seems right by a misunderstanding of the scriptures. And so then, we're giving you the word tonight, as it is recorded in the Bible, that in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and unmerited favor. In Amos 9:11, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. That's the house, the flesh body. And according to the book of Numbers, if there was no male offspring in the families, then the oldest daughter could assume the role of the son and get the possession of her father's property. And if a woman married into a bloodline descendant, they had no children, then only daughters, then they were allowed to, as I have said, they were allowed to inherit, just like we have proven the very fact, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh himself is coming for a people after his own bloodline. He's from the line of David. The bloodline of David. David himself was from the bloodline of Joseph. Ruth was the mother of the offspring that produced David. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer that was kin to Elimelech of Ruth chapter 1. Therefore, he had a right, and the succeeding kinship, the closest kin, had to marry the widow of a brother to raise up seed. This is what happened in Genesis chapter 38 when Satan defiled the blood of Judah. Now let's go to an amazing prophecy here in the book of Genesis chapter 49 verse 10. We find Jacob the prophet himself a descendant of Isaac. Isaac was a descendant of Yahweh, according to the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis. Therefore, we find that Isaac, being the only son born free, and the Bible says that Abraham, although he had other relationship and other flesh sons and daughters, we find that Isaac received everything from the house of Abraham. The other sons received nothing because Isaac received everything. Now, why is that? Simply because he was in line for the birthright blessing. And so we keep the birthright and the birthline holy. But we're not to reckon it after the genealogy, because Satan very craftily has stolen the identity, ladies and gentlemen. And what I'm trying to do is give you a broad-brushed event that would take me literally hours to go through a Bible study to give you justice, to give you the understanding that you would need. If this is the first time you've ever heard this message, you'll say Pastor Buddy is mad and beside himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I will assure you one thing, that I have studied and prayed, and I have fasted, and I have been led to the fountain of truth, that Christ was not a Jew. Christ was not born in Bethlehem, Judea. Got a scripture to give you if you would like to have it. Many of the scriptures that we have got here is already in messages that we have already preached on, and you need to write for the true birthplace messages that I have, literally hours and hours, upon the subject. Ladies and gentlemen, the world has been deceived by the stolen identity of those that claim to be Jews and are not. And the Bible says, from such, turn away. Now, how do we get away from the tradition of the world? Come out of her, my people. That's what the Bible says. Come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, let's look at Bethlehem, Ephratah, Genesis 35. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look in the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis, you will find that Rachel dies and is buried. Today, if you go to the Middle East and go to the place they call Israel and ask to find Rachel's tomb, they'll take you down to a city called Bethlehem, Judea, and tell you that that's where she's buried. That's the biggest lie that the Jews have ever told. That's the biggest lie that the scribes have ever told. That's the biggest lie that the Pharisees have ever told. Why? Because they're liars. And that's what Christ called them. John 8:39-44 will prove to you that Christ had the same problem that Pastor Buddy has, along with a lot of other people that believe the truth. You see, if you believe the truth, you've got to stand up against a tradition that has been brought on by the lying scribes who said that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, Judea, and that's not true. Because the prophet in Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, said he would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. Now, if you go to Ephratah of Genesis chapter 35, you'll find that that original Bethlehem was at Bethel, the house of bread, and that the Jews, by convincing you that Rachel's grave, and I'll prove to you that it's not in Bethlehem, Judea, ladies and gentlemen, there is two scriptures that we'll bring, and we will in any major debate that we get into. We never play our cards and lay them out to the table. We always reserve the right to refrain from giving the enemy any information until we get them in a debate. And that's when we'll bring the rest of the story, or page two, as a famous radio personality might say, the rest of the story. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to hear the rest of the story. Christ was not a Jew. Christ was not born in Bethlehem, Judea. He was out of the house of Joseph, the birthright tribe. If not, then the true Messiah has not come. If the one that came was a Jew, you can rest assured that's the wrong one. But ladies and gentlemen, you can rest assured that the one that did come, they stole his identity after they killed him. And the scribes who lied in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, said that he would be born in Bethlehem, Judea, which is an obvious, outright lie. And then they inserted in the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth, the genealogy of Perez. Now, what's he doing in here? He don't even have a right to the birthright. And yet they say, well, since Christ came from the blood of Judah, the bloodline of Judah, and of course they very expertly get around Judah's oldest son, Shelah, which was of a Canaanite connection. That's the one that was supposed to have Judah's birthright. And he survived. Yahweh killed the first two offspring of Judah and the Canaanite woman. See, ladies and gentlemen, we tell you the truth, how that the devil, Cain, and his blood, Cain's blood, was directly from Satan. And Satan's job was to get into the bloodline of Yahweh, to cut back into the blood, to inherit through the blood, to get the blessing through the blood. That's why that the continuous battles has always been sexual in nature. The overtones has always been racial covenant. And so Satan, being as wise as he knew, that he could steal the birthright. And ladies and gentlemen, what a masterful job of stolen identity of part two of our message tonight been about the truth that Christ was neither a Jew, and neither was he born in Bethlehem, Judea, but he was of the blood of Joseph, born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, which is the original Bethlehem of Genesis chapter 35. And oh my, ladies and gentlemen, time won't permit me to go into just the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. I'm going to assure you that Satan is very crafty. He's changed the truth into a lie, and he's got people worshiping a way that seems right. But the end thereof is death. And the Bible says for us to turn away. Now, why should we beware of the scribes? That's what the Bible says to do. To beware of the scribes. And if we're aware that the scribes will lie to us, then we'll take the scriptures with a grain of salt, or we'll rightly divide them. Everybody said, well, the Bible says he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, and that's, bless God, that's just exactly what I believe. Well, if you believe that, you don't believe what Yahweh said. Yahweh said through the prophet he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. Ephratah is not Judea, ladies and gentlemen. Bethlehem, Judea is about 8 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem, Ephratah is about 18 miles north of Jerusalem in the territory of Ephraim, Joseph. This is the last place on earth. The Messiah didn't go back to Bethlehem, Judea. In the 12th chapter of the book of St. John, right before he was to be killed, he went to the city of Ephraim in the wilderness, not the well-traveled path of Bethlehem, Judea. This wilderness place had been forgotten. They changed the truth into a lie to worship Satan rather than Yahweh. Oh, yeah, Yahweh was rejected. And how do they reject it? They reject him through his genealogy. The genealogy shows that Joseph is the descendant of David. By virtue of this virgin birth, it is not a gene-carrying descendant. Therefore, the Messiah is not a gene-carrying descendant of David. However, the main assumption in our argument is that only gene-carrying descendants are considered as legal descendants. So then, we have proven to you that the humanity of the law that gave the sisters a right to inherit when there was no sons of the offspring of Heli, which was, if you will, Mary's father. So therefore, by marrying into Joseph, a descendant of David, then Christ became the legal heir to inherit under the birth covenant. So therefore, he could be the root of David as well as the offspring. Both genealogies are aware of the virgin birth. Both of them. If you look at Luke and Matthew, and I've studied them quite well, Luke adds the phrase, he was the son. So it was thought of Joseph in 3:23 of Luke. And Matthew switches the verbs from the X to begot the Y to Joseph, the husband of Mary, to whom the feminine pronoun was born the Messiah. Joseph is already a legal heir of David, but he seems also to pick up Mary's legal heritage through the marriage laws of the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25. So then, therefore, Mary's father, Heli, he had two daughters, Mary and the unnamed wife of Zebedee, in John 19:25, Matthew 27:56. If there were no sons, Joseph would become son of Heli on his marriage to preserve the family name and the inheritance. And for that reference, you need to go to Numbers chapter 27, verses 1 through 11, chapter 36, 1 through 12, which accounts for Mary marrying a man of the family of David. Therefore, Christ got his divinity through his father and got his bloodline relationship through his mother marrying into the house of Joseph. And so then Christ was born in Bethlehem of Ephratah in the northern kingdom province of the 10 northern tribes. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of here. My time just flew on by. I haven't had time to really scratch the surface on this. And I want you to pray much for our message, that it will go into the hearts of those. You can call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, the zip 37824. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you. We're going to give you part three of the message that Yahweh was an Israelite.
And the sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes, and the sword in his hand, he's riding a white horse all across this land. He's calling out to you and me.